The book of Sirach. In those days, like a fire, there appeared the prophet Elijah, whose words were as a flaming furnace. Their staff of bread he shattered. In his zeal he reduced them to straits. By the Lord's word he shut up the heavens, and three times brought down fire. How awesome are you, Elijah, in your wondrous deeds! Whose glory is equal to yours? You are taken aloft in a whirlwind of fire, in a chariot with fiery horses. You are destined, it is written, in time to come, to put an end to wrath before the day of the Lord, to turn back the hearts of fathers towards their children, and to re-establish the tribes of Jacob. Blessed is he who shall have seen you, and who falls asleep in your friendship. And the Gospel reading is from St. Matthew, chapter 17. As they were coming down from the mountain, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said in reply, "Elijah will indeed come and restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. From the description of him given in the first reading today, it seems that Elijah ought to be immediately recognizable. He comes with fire and departs in fire. His words are a blazing furnace, a torch bringing famine, drought and destruction. Awesome is the word for it, even in the contemporary American use of that term, and we're not surprised that he should depart as he came in a whirlwind of fire on his chariot of fiery horses. He comes, we are told, to allay God's wrath before fury breaks, to put an end to anger, to re-establish the tribes of Jacob, and to turn the hearts of fathers towards their children. It sounds as if he is the wrath and the fury, rather than the one who prevents the wrath and the fury from breaking out. John the Baptist is Elijah, Jesus says. He has come already, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. Rather than fire, blazing furnaces and torches, drought and famine, John came as a strange preacher of repentance, calling for water rather than fire, a baptism in which the people could confess their sins and ask God to cleanse their lives. In some accounts, John's words are fiery. He takes no prisoners, and his steely integrity finally provokes the fury that leads to his martyrdom. In his reply to the disciples, Jesus seems to refer to the passage of Sirach, which is today's first reading. Elijah, John, will restore the tribes of Jacob, he says, will restore all things and see that everything is once more as it should be. This is so that what is to happen next can happen, so that the one coming next can come. He is a precursor then, Elijah, John, setting things right somehow before something more radical can happen, allaying the wrath before the fury breaks. If Elijah is the prophet of fire, drought and famine, he is also the prophet of the still small voice. In his moment of deepest intimacy with God, it is not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire that Elijah is in God's presence. It is in the still small voice, in the sound of fine silence, that Elijah is in the presence of God. The recognition of the presence of God, the acknowledgement of his prophets and messengers, is not then in dramatic cosmological convulsions, in awesome and terrifying physical events. Perhaps it will be like that at the end of time. But for now, recognition of the presence of God is more radical, a matter of converted hearts, changed minds, new ways of thinking, new ways of responding, things opening up, things beginning to move again, sins forgiven, love reborn. Shutting up the heavens may be dramatic and fearful, but opening hearts is much more radical, much more creative, much more fruitful for the world's salvation. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. This is the prayer of a later prophet, a prayer fulfilled precisely in the moment in which Jesus will be baptized by John, the Messiah, baptized by Elijah. The strangest thing Elijah will do is turn back the hearts of fathers towards their children. It is a puzzling expression. Are the hearts of fathers not naturally turned towards their children? Does it mean that the order of creation has become so distorted that only divine power can enable fathers to do something which ought to come naturally to them? It is an essential part of the mission of Elijah, as the angel Gabriel explains it to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when he brings him the news of his son's conception. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Perhaps it continues this theme of opening rather than shutting, opening to the future and to what is yet to be, to what the young are bringing, opening to new life, fresh and original, rather than relying on old ways, old patterns, old compromises. We can, if we wish, entertain ourselves with images of cosmological convulsion, fire and thunder, earthquake and erupting mountains. But the work of the Spirit is otherwise, internal, deep down, radical, hidden for the most part, until it bears fruit in the awesome works of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.